Hello, welcome to Nintendo Nostalgia. I'm your host, Jacob Rush, and I'm joined by my co-host, Ryan Black. And we're back, and we're playing with power. And Ryan, before we jump right back into Mario World, the Forest of Illusions, what are you doing, my friend? How are you feeling? We know you've been sick lately. You sound much better to me.
Yeah, I'm just still recovering. I fell asleep. The past couple days, we've been falling asleep like at 4 and just like sleeping through the entire day. Both Draco and I have the sickness. Yeah, I'm feeling a lot better. I still have stuff in my throat, still have a cough that comes every once in a while, but it's a lot out of my head. I still have a little bit of a lower voice, but not too bad. And finally starting to come out of it. Just my body just wants to sleep a lot to get over this, whatever it is. So yeah, I'm feeling a lot better. Just been
good.
When I've been awake and not working, I've been playing Final Fantasy VII Crisis Core. So been having fun with that.
Yeah, I'm addicted. I mean, we just talked for about 10 minutes before we got on here. I am addicted to Final Fantasy VII and Crisis Core, and so addicted that, I mean, I'll be playing Final Fantasy for at least throughout the first half of 2024. I mean, that's been my game. Seven. I'm almost through chapter 14, but I kind of put it on pause because I think I want to finish the story of Crisis Core first, since it's a prequel. And I've been playing it nonstop. I mean, it's bad, right? I mean, I might have to go to therapy to stop obsessing over Final Fantasy VII because I'm addicted. every time I have any moment of freedom in my life, I'm Googling or YouTubing stuff about Final Fantasy VII, and I'm playing my Switch in between times when I am able to. Like, it's like I feel like a kid again. I feel obsessed, and can be a bad thing, but like the thing is, like, trying to beat Seven. I'm gonna go back and finish Seven Remake shortly. Beat Crisis Core first, though. And the thing is, Seven Remake has the deal. I have like additional 15 hours of story because of the DLC that is for that. And I gotta do all that all before Rebirth gets here. And then once Rebirth gets here, it's just announced that there's over 40 hours of gameplay, and could take up over 100 hours if you do all the side stuff. So
yeah,
it's fair to say I'm gonna be obsessing over Final Fantasy for quite a while, unless Nintendo swoops in and drops some unexpected thing. Yeah, I could care less about that game. But someone on IGN said that was their game of the year. I'm like,
I mean, that's all they know about right now.
That's what I'm saying. Like, give it a little bit of time, buddy. Like, we got a whole year ahead of us, so who knows what's going to come. But enough for the Final Fantasy talk. We are not doing a Final Fantasy podcast episode, maybe in the future, who knows. But right now, we have got to get back to Mario. Super Mario World, Forest of Illusion. This is a confusing world, am I right? I mean, yeah, it's designed to be tricky.
Without secrets, it's pretty much a... there's not much to talk about in this episode, but we're gonna have to do some secrets just to get out of the main. Some of the secret exits are the exits for this world.
It loop itself around if you just do like the regular course?
Yeah, you have to use some secret exits and stuff just to get through everything.
Well, let's go ahead and dive in. Forest of Illusion 1, then, Ryan. Describe it. I mean, it feels like a normal level. We just got a Wiggler right up front, which is at this point new in the game, right? I don't think Wiggler had been in any Mario game up yet until this point.
I don't think so, unless it was represented in like mini game type game. I don't think there was any representation before that. Not that I can recall, but. Yeah, Wiggler's pretty cool. This is an interesting level design, because not only do you have like the background, like trees in the background, but now you have like this foreground element where things cover up the front end. And so like enemies kind of disappear behind the trees that are in the foreground, covering up where Mario is. So it makes it a little bit more challenging, because the enemies kind of disappear for a second behind their veil of the trees. Kind of a cool little element. So you can only see like wigglers like in parts coming through the trees that are like spaced really close together, and you can see like little, you can peek behind the trees and see the enemy walking, but it's pretty much a blind spot otherwise. So it's kind of gives it a little extra layer of challenge there. So this level in general is it's just basically you're running through these trees that obscures wigglers and other various enemies. You've got your what are those Goombas called? The Galoombas. Mm-hmm. Enemies, and you've got some turtle shells, and you've got some Koopas, you know, wandering around. Nothing too like crazy for Mario. You've got a lot of apples in the trees.
It's and a fine picking level for Yoshi, that's for sure.
Yeah, you have a lot of opportunity to eat those for Yoshi. Yoshi's definitely recommended because you can take out the Wigglers. The Wigglers by themselves can't be defeated really, unless you like use your cape or something. Like they're not, you can't jump on top of them, basically.
Yoshi makes it. I mean, he'll eat them. Yoshi.
Yeah, you can eat them. You can bounce on top of them, but they just get angry. Like their flower falls off, and then they start flashing, and then they turn red, and they move a lot faster. And they kind of home in on you. Like they just get really angry, like, in classic Wiggler fashion.
Yeah.
This is kind of the first time we saw a Wiggler element to the game. It's cool. A lot of personality for that character. We also get an opportunity to see a pee balloon, which is essential for getting to, or is one of the options, one of the methods you could take to get to the secret exit, which is a key that teases you underneath one of the wooden platforms. But when you beat it normally, you run through and you've got Wigglers at the bottom. You've got one of those Hammer Brothers on the winged blocks, and so you have to try to get underneath, avoid the Wiggler, or use the Wiggler to get up to hit that Hammer Brother. And then once you're on that flying platform that flies back and forth, you can jump straight to the level tape to exit the level. So when you beat that level. So you've got two paths that you can take. One, the secret exit goes to a ghost house, and then the regular exit goes to send you into a level that's water, basically. You're sitting in a pond. And they both indicate that they have secret exits because they're the red tile blocks. Right. Is there anything else you wanted to cover on Force 1 before Force Illusion 1 before we move on?
I mean, overall, I just want to stay. I mean, it's a fairly simple level. You know, if you've not, it adds in. I think that thing they added in was the element of just there being a different, like having stuff in that covers the enemies can make them a little bit obscure to see. But in general, I mean, I don't even feel like finding the secret is that hard. It's pretty. You hit it, and if you don't know what to do with it, you're probably like, what the heck is going on? But if you pay attention to your surroundings, you'll see the keyhole. I mean, you can kind of just put two and two together, and you've got to fly back. In general, though, like, that's really about it. I mean, that's really the main thing about this level. It's not very long, like you said. It's designed to just be on for you to find this secret. It's not really, like, super hidden. You know what I mean?
Right. And this is, it gives you the, you get an exchange for the pea balloon. The pea balloon is actually one of the elements in one of the hardest levels in the game. But it's not too different from like elements of swimming when you have a shell underwater in your hands, or, you know, it's got a little bit of that. You basically have to hold down, to go down below, and then if you let up, you'll rise to the top. Very similar to the swimming mechanic, but you can choose what direction you want to go. But it is timed, so you know, Mario blows up like a balloon, and you can float down and go left or right, and then he'll start to lose his air, and you'll see him starting to deflate, and so you got to get to a platform before he loses his air and falls into the pit. So, but once you get over to the pit, you can drop in. And
the key's right there. Yeah.
And grab that key and just take it right to the keyhole, which is right next to each other on the platform.
I think we should go towards the forest ghost house, just because that's really the path you need to take, you know, to go next.
That's the secret exit. We do come back to the ghost house. If we go, there is a regular exit that gets to the ghost house.
This, I mean, at the moment you walk in, it's very claustrophobic. It's just like the last big castle we did, you know? You're kind of like in a tight hallway, and you can see the booze on the other side of the wall from our vantage point, but... It's got a long hallway to get through until you get out towards the end, and then you got those weird guys who are not boos, but yet
Eeries, yeah.
Yeah, and they
the dinosaur hurt. Ghosts.
Yeah, they hurt you if you're not careful. But you've gotta be able to fly. I don't know. It's kind of tricky. They want you to use your cape. You can they give you a cape. It's it gets you over a lot of the level, I guess. I don't know. But so far in this once you get through the main long hallway, it's you got big boos, you got little boos. You come out to the ghost dinosaurs, and then once we get through that, you come back out into an area of the mansion that is very reminiscent of like the original ghost house that we went to, where you got all the booze in the sky.
Yeah, the transparent booze in the sky, and they come corporeal and they swoop down, attack you, and yeah.
Interesting.
If you
stand in one spot, they will swarm you. I mean, you got to duck down so they don't hit you, but they will get you if you are not careful.
Yeah, you can't really dodge them. You just got to keep moving, otherwise they'll overwhelm you and take you out.
For sure.
They love to dive bomb. So,
well, take us through this section with them.
Yeah. Once you get past the walls of Eeries that come through, and you have an opportunity, if you hold on to your power-ups, to get a feather, you know, just an extra layer of protection. Once you go through that door, you'll be faced with all of these boos. You get a winged block that comes through that gives you firepower, which doesn't do you a whole lot of good against boos. But that next block that you come to does give you that feather, which, so it would, it's basically, yes, it becomes a fire flower, but in reality, it's just meant as a mushroom if you didn't have it to get you to, get the feather. Not necessary, but, once you hit the feather, you'll get a P block after that. And then you can, if you hit the P block, then you can't progress any further. Until the people that goes away, because there's coins blocking the door for this area. It looks like it's an exit. It's not actually it's a trick door. You have to jump over, grab the coins with the P before hitting the P block, grab the next coins in the next area, and then you hit the P block, and there's a secret door that pops up in that area that would have been blocked off by coins had you not grabbed them. And that takes you to the second portion. Basically, it takes you back to the beginning of the level, but up above where you started, so you're not in that narrow channel anymore.
It's I don't know if you noticed, but just a slight note that I noticed, the items in the game this level, they're
transparent.
Yeah, they look like ghosts.
Yeah, it's kind of a cool touch. I don't know if that was a graphical glitch, but yeah, the mushrooms will be transparent.
I think they intended that.
And I could see, like, maybe they did round element, and because the mushrooms are round enough, it translated the transparent to those round elements too. A happy side effect, if you will.
So in this area where we're above the intro, there's two doors. Which door is the correct door?
This is one of those ones where it fakes out on you. It fakes you out. Yes, you think you go through the right exit because you're given a 3-up moon. But you don't actually end up going anywhere. If you get to hit that second door, it rewards you for going the extra mile and skipping that first door, but then you don't actually get the exit that you're looking for. So if you have to go through the level again to hit that first door to get out to get to the next level, which is Forest Illusion 4.
Yep, you're right. Yeah, that moon. If you do get, you'll if you're like me and you do the first door, you'll come out of it and you're like, what the heck? Like, why didn't I go anywhere? It gives you an option to save. Like, it indicates that you did something, but you would have to replay the level and maybe try that other door out. But that's why it's all about, it's the theme of the world. It's about illusions. They want you to be confused. It's in a way, it's kind of like the whole world is like a big ghost world.
And I like this world just because, you know, it's got the spooky trees and it's definitely like a Halloween theme.
Oh, yeah. To it. Absolutely. It reminds me of Zelda's like Lost Woods in a way.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
Well, so I guess we'll just continue on the path. If you go through the second door that we passed initially, that opens up a pathway to the left, right? And it takes us to a new level, which again, it's back out in nature. There's a Lakitu dangling like a extra green life in front of your face. And you kind of have to, if you got a Yoshi, just jump up and eat it. But yeah, I mean, that's where we are. And then he's pretty ticked off at you. This is, yeah, this
you can great. Avoid it. And you don't have to worry about what he has to do. It's kind of a game. Like, do you take the extra life? Or do you avoid it and then have to face off against all the enemies that he throws out with the spinies?
I love it, though. Like, the whole...
Yeah.
You know, if you want to talk about, like, historic... like, Mario memories that I have...
Mm-hmm.
This dude throwing spikies at me... is a nightmare. Like, this is something I remember from my childhood from Mario Brothers 1. He would always do this, and those were, I always felt like, were like some of the hardest levels, because you just, I remember being a kid and that, like, just run for it. That's what you do. I just run for it.
Yeah, it's definitely reminiscent of the old Super Mario Brothers feel.
I mean, I don't advocate making it harder than it has to be. You're right, but I'm just notating that it makes me a little nostalgic for the first Mario game in a weird way.
Yeah.
In a weird way. This is much better, but... But, I mean, most of the level, okay, if let's say you're a noob and you don't know what you're doing, let's talk about it. I mean, this guy is kind of a headache, right? As we go through the level, there's... The level itself isn't too complicated. It's just, as a matter of fact, if you don't take that green mushroom, this is a very easy level. You just have some other Lakitus that hide in pipes. As we run through the level, they're just hiding there waiting for you to come by. And they'll throw a spiky out right at you. But they're pretty easy to avoid, too. You can jump on them and kill them.
I'd say it's more difficult to try to avoid the mushroom through the whole level than it is to trigger the mushroom. Sometimes,
is he like, he's following us through the whole level?
Yeah, and they constantly give you like teasers, like, oh, you can jump up here and grab this mushroom to power up. But if you do, it's gonna clip you with the extra life, and then you're gonna be attacked the whole time. So
they want you to do it.
Yeah, I want to note also that the Lakitus, if you stand next to their pipes, unlike the piranha plants, they don't stay hidden in the pipes. They'll still throw out their spiny on you. So it definitely has it's a different mechanic altogether for them. You can also use your cape to like flick them out of the pipe too from the side, which is helpful.
Yeah, I like that this level is trying to tempt you. Come on, take my mushroom. Take my mushroom. You know you want to. It's kind of funny, in my opinion.
If you do take out the Lakitu, which notably, it can actually take out, if you jump up and hit Lakitu from the side, it'll take out 2 power-ups right away, which is kind of crazy if you clip it just right. But yeah, it's, you can take it out and jump in the cloud and ride it, which is a really cool nod.
Not if you jump on him with Yoshi. If you jump on him with Yoshi, he's dead. You like, it's he like, you know how Yoshi does this thing. He it explodes. So you can do that without Yoshi, then yes. But if you don't, then you're not getting a free ride. But the level gives you ample amount of points or times to take him out. I mean, there's multiple occasions where the pipes will rise up and you can jump off a pipe maybe if he swooped down. You can ride the cloud with Yoshi, by the way. But when you get closer towards the end of the level, there's like they start giving you like stacks of purple bricks, which look familiar, right? That you can just grab them, throw them up, chuck them out of the sky, steal his cloud if you kill him that way, ride it with Yoshi, and then that's pretty much the end of the level. The level is really just a big kind of it's literally dangling a carrot in front of your face the whole time that you're trying to avoid that temptation of that green mushroom. Now, Ryan, you're the expert on this. Is there any secrets in this level?
Yes, there are.
When you beat it, it just connects you back to the other side of that of after Forest of Illusion 1 that opened up that pathway. If you take the traditional exit, that's where it took you.
So, there is a secret. There's a point where there's a P block and a pipe with a Lakitu above the P block. If you hit the P block, you get a bunch of like coins that look like there could be a platform to get up on there. So it teases like you could get up on that and go down the pipe. But there's a turtle or a Koopa with wings that's jumping down once you pass that blue pipe in the sky. And if you wait and let it jump along, it does that huge jump along the ground arc. And if you wait, you can jump on it and use that to get up on top of the pipe. And if you go down that pipe with the Lakitu, you take out the Lakitu, you go down the blue pipe, and then there is a key with the keyhole right there that gets you to the secret exit, which takes you to the Forest of Illusion secret one. I guess it's just one. This is the only secret level, but
where at in the level is that? It's the P block, you said.
Yeah, it's right after you get the tape for the checkpoint for the mid level. There's that, it's that there where the P block is.
So you need to go down the pipe.
Yeah, if you go a little bit further, there's a Koopa Troopa that is bouncing around. You can use to jump up and get up on top of that pipe and go down it.
Or you can sacrifice your Yoshi and just jump off.
True.
Off him, like I do.
Or fly up there, but
I never saw a P block. But geez, that's again, it's all an illusion. well, this takes you to the forest secret area. The forest secret area is directly underneath this. And as you do it, like the forest, we never notated this yet, but the forest, like it just disappears, right? It just kind of evaporates, and then
it carves its path through where the forest was.
You're unlocking the proper path. Okay. Man, this level looks intimidating from the get-go because you are riding gray eyeball blocks and they're flying, but like the way they make it look is that, like, I mean, they definitely give you the illusion like we're flying fast because the background is moving so fast. It's like you're flying in the sky. If you're riding, well, you have to ride them to do this level, right?
Yeah, it's definitely one of those like be patient. You know, you have to wait for it to go. But the background is zooming by so fast, it makes it look like you're going, like, super, super speedy.
And it's, there's turtles and lots of coins. There's Koopa Troopas and lots of coins. And, I mean, it's got a lot of fun things for you to jump off and do. And I think it tries to tempt you a lot, like, because it feels like it's a slower-moving level. They want you to, like, get all these coins and take out as many bad guys as you can. You know, it feels easy, but if you're not careful, you can easily screw up, get hit. You can easily fall off and die. Overall, though, it's not that complicated of a level, especially if you just ride it and are careful. It just literally just takes you across.
Yep, no secrets here.
no secrets at all. I mean, really, if anything, it's a great way to get extra lives because of all the coins you can get.
Yeah.
By beating it, it does open up a pathway out of it. But that's not the main pathway to like leave the island, the area, correct?
Right, right. No, that's just bonus stuff, and that takes you to the Star Road, which we will cover later.
You want to talk about the mini castle after this, though?
it does have, well, it's a unique castle in that it does have a secret exit, kind of a pseudo secret exit, but it just basically results in you getting a bunch of extra lives if you have the means to fly across the gap at the end, the lava at the end.
Okay, so we'll just save this for like when we come back and we hit all the specials on our special episode in the
yeah
future.
Yeah,
okay.
And that'll unlock the
Star Road.
Yeah,
I will notate that. I mean, it makes me excited to see it because one, it that's the first little mini castle we've seen in this game. We haven't seen those, and in Mario 3, like, which is probably the game I have the oldest nostalgia for, when it comes to Mario. Not one in the original, because I had them both at the same time as a kid. You always ran into those mini castles, and I always enjoyed that. It gets me excited to see it, because, like, ooh, it's like a little bit mixture of my own childhood nostalgia within this game. You don't really have those in this, but...
So you got a couple, so it's kind of cool to come across that.
It is. So, okay, we're not going that way. Now, we did do those two levels, or that extra level, but we have to go back up. Ryan, how do we... We're still now just walking in circles. What do we do to get beyond this? Do we have to go to Force of Illusion 2, which originally opened up from the very beginning after the first level?
Yeah, you'll have to go to Force of Illusion 2, and there's two exits here. One's the regular exit, one's the secret switch exit.
And we immediately start off in the water with... blooper or ugly fish bloopers coming at you, and those little spiky ball dudes. I'm not sure what their names are.
I can't remember. Like, it wasn't like something like sea urchin. It was something else. Like urchin, I think, was in the name.
We're just going through the tunnels with these guys, and if you're big, honestly, you're probably damaging yourself a lot easier. You're handicapping yourself by being big, because
yeah, unless you've got a cape.
You can't. I don't think you can kill those dudes with the cape.
No, you have to have a blue block or the purple block to take them out. Which I never really did as a kid, but
no, usually.
But it helps you get rid of the fish. They're the main problems. And again, this is just a be patient and wait type thing. You wait for the urchins to move along their path and then move as quickly as you can to get around them. They kind of lazily float back and forth. Basically, you're doing a water maze with these sea urchins that you have to time your swimming around. It kind of gives me vibes of like the last level in Echo Tides of Time, or the last like the epilogue or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You just had to get around the larva for the queen. But yeah, it kind of reminds me of that, just with like they go in like a circular pattern, and luckily they don't get enraged and try to chase you down. But
the purple fish do, and when you go through like this tight tunnels, I don't know if you noticed, but like if you're small Mario, you like get sucked through it like an air vent. It moves really fast. If you're bigger, you do swim a lot slower. But the pathways are just kind of like, they want to pull you. They want you to accidentally overshoot and run into a bad guy, run into one of the sleeping purple fish in the corners, and then they'll wake up and they'll chase you. But it's just kind of a claustrophobic level. Again, like you said, you have to be very careful with.
Yeah, there's a secret exit in this one. It's as you're working your way through the maze, if you stick close to the left-hand side, mm-hmm. And you drop down on one of the areas where you can drop down where sea urchins are, you can drop all the way down in that area. And there's it looks like it's kind of hidden. There's like, it looks like there's more mountain or like more like barrier, but you can actually walk through it. I don't know how to describe it really, but the level has your ground that you have to swim around that makes the maze up. And then there is the ground there, but it's like a block that you can walk underneath of. So you can walk through it. It looks like a solid wall maybe. And there is a key right there with the keyhole. If you swim to the left there, if you're in just the right place, you know, you just have to stumble upon it. It's not like, it's kind of out of the way hidden, but that will take you to the block for this area, which is the blue block, I believe. So you hit that block, and that distributes all the blue, fills in all the blue spaces. And I believe this is the last switch that you'll have to come trigger, because this is like the fourth, if I remember right. So you've got the yellow, you've got the green, you got the red, and the blue is the final one. And then if you have all the switches, that allows you to get through the Star Road last level that you need to get to the secret, the hard areas, the hardest levels in the game. So definitely recommend picking up each of those switches. But we're not here to talk about the switches just yet. We're going to be moving right on through to the regular exit for this. The very end of that level, you're going to be swimming through a lot of those enemies, the Rip Van fish that are sleeping, and they all start chasing you.
It's hard. I mean,
yeah.
It's kind of like you're like a football player making a run for the touchdown, and like you got defenders on all around you trying to tackle you. I mean, seriously, that's how it felt like. It kind of makes your heart be like, come on. You gotta swim right, because they'll be above you, they'll be below you, and they're trying to get you. I just did it. And I was having, thank the Lord for a rewind, because I rewind a couple times, but yeah, it was kind of nail biting in a way. And Mario doesn't really make you nail bite very much. So I liked seeing that.
And this kicks us out into Forest of Illusion 3. Yep. There is a fake exit and a real exit here. Fake exit will take you to the ghost house. The normal way to get to the ghost house without a secret exit. And then the other way will take you out of the forest and onto the boss castle for this area. But this level is interesting. You've got a lot of bubbles. You've got the Galoombas, and you've got, I think this is one of the first times you've seen them in this game. You've got the bombs. And the bombs are basically Galoombas in this game, except for they explode after a certain amount of time. But they, they're fun. If you jump on top of them, they start flashing, they'll blow up. You can also, if you wait long enough, if you don't jump on them, they'll still blow up. So they're volatile. You can get a Yoshi in this level to help you eat some of those bubbles. But a lot of verticality here. You get like springs you can jump on to get over tall pipes. But these bubbles just float along, and once they hit a surface, they release the enemy that's trapped in it. And so then if you wait too long, and they just keep coming, and you got like a bunch of enemies on the ground you have to worry about. So if you kind of avoid them, don't pop their bubble and keep moving, you can pretty much avoid a lot of the enemies. You'll be passing by the time their bubbles pop. You know, you've got a lot of pits and pipes to jump around. You still have those trees in the foreground that covers up some of your vision. If you hit the yellow eye blocks, it keeps those bubbles from popping, and so they just keep on floating by. So you can avoid some of the enemies that way, which is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. And then you get into this area after that, where you have a bunch of the question blocks just in random like configurations, and they're all going to give you like a coin every time you hit them. So if you use the Galoombas, you can throw them up to hit the blocks to get the coins out of them instead of having to try to jump up, since they're kind of at weird angles or weird positionings. But you can also ignore them. At the very end, you're going to be faced with a charging Chuck that splits into three if you don't take them out with a Galoomba beforehand. You also have some random cheap cheeps that come in on bubbles that you can, once they pop, they just flop around. You can run into them and take them out. They don't actually hurt you. But, you know, you've got a lot of different, like, there's a lot of enemies you can take out in this level. It's fun to go and to do these and have the bubbles. I don't know. It's very whimsical. I really like the bubble idea of this level. And then once you've gotten past the charge and chuck that breaks into three, and you've cleared that last pipe, you've got the tape at the end. So it's not super hard of a level, especially if you're trying to avoid all the bubbles. But just if you wait and take your time, you're going to have a lot more trouble.
Yeah, the enemy is just kind of floating by, aren't they? I mean, you kind of, if you, it's kind of like the Lakitu level. If you end up touching it, you yourself open up that, that you put yourself in harm's way.
Yeah.
Or in reality, it could be avoided the entire time if you're careful enough. But
there
it's, we have to have the secret, right?
Yeah, you have to have the secret exit. There is a Yoshi, there's Yoshi egg, and then there's also one of those extra life mini games where you hit the blocks, try to get three circles to get the extra life out of it, and that will kick you out just one space ahead if you do grab those extra lives, and you're still looking for the secret exit. And it's another pipe that you have to go down, basically, to get there. And it's not like a blue pipe like they usually trick you out, you know, trick you with. Like, make you think, oh, yeah, that's where the secret exits are. That's always the blue pipe. The blue pipe was in this game, or in this level already, just the extra life. So the other one that you have to go down is it's different. Right before the tape, if you go there, if you go where the charging chuck is, if you go down that long green pipe, that's the secret exit. And it's at the end of the level, so you can easily miss it. And you have to have be a big Mario or have a way to break the yellow eye blocks with like the jump spin, and that will get you to the key and the keyhole that's contained underneath of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, then that will take you out of the Force of Illusion.
It being at the end is really tricky. They don't normally do that, you know?
And it's a green pipe, so you don't think to go down it. Like, oh, it's a really tall one. I just jump on top of it so I can hit the flagpole, you know? You don't think that you actually need it, you know, or that there's an actual thing to go down in it. So.
Yep, you're absolutely right. That's why they, again, call this the Force of Illusion.
Yep. Question every pipe.
But it takes us to our last level for this world, which is Roy's Castle. Roy's Castle is,
it's challenging. you gotta be patient on this one, and it's not like a slow patient, it's a fast patient.
You're moving fast, and you've got to dodge lava. You got lava flying in the sky.
You step on these, brown block snake, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes on this predestined path. You may remember in Super Mario Maker, you can make these blocks go on their own snaking path. But this is kind of the first like real example we have of this, like traveling along with fireballs flying everywhere and lava pit below you. And you have to basically follow along its trajectory the whole time, trying not to fall into the lava pit and avoiding those.
Once you get through the lava pit, you're covered by spikes. It gets even harder because you're covered by spikes from above and below, and you've got like you can't jump too high. You have to really and some spikes fall down. My biggest recommendation for that section, honestly, Ryan, is to just walk.
Like, yeah.
If you don't run, you just walk. That's really going to kind of keep you in pace with the movement. You'll have to stop maybe sometimes, but overall, just walk. Be patient as it snakes its way through. You're going to have to stand on the end of it, move down with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you make it through the double spiked area up above and below, you get to jump up to a new area. And it's kind of just a little pathway down. It changes. And there's a P block right down there. And be careful. You got to wiggle like sharp tooth block that's going to fall directly on top of it. If you if you just take the bait, you'll die. You'll get killed.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't think you should step on that right away, should you? You want to run and...
You can run and grab it and take it on with you if you wanted to. Again, it...
It's just going
it's
to...
It's bad if you do hit it, but...
Again.
Because it drops down a Bowser statue that breathes fire, but there's also an extra life right next to it. So it's but like you know, a... What do you do?
Back in the day, that's enticing because you want that, but... you're right. We have these Bowser statues that are shooting little fireballs at you the whole time. And it makes that difficult. Once you get beyond that though, you've got your question, the eyeball, square blocks moving in and out, making it small, all while trying to dodge fireballs being shot at you from the statues, which, again, it just... And you know, also, you have, like, the flying ghost lava thing that's swarming in the sky. Yeah, I don't think it's too difficult.
There's no checkpoint. That's the big thing.
Oh, yeah, that's huge. There is no checkpoint, and you...
You just got to start over at the beginning again.
Mm-hmm. The thing about the level, and again, Ryan, we have to remember to put, let's put ourselves back in 1992 when kids were playing this game, and not 2024. Like, this was new. This was new, and you can tell, like, the level of difficulty does ramp up here. There's no save states. There's no rewind features. And you probably have to die a handful of times to make your way through it. Because you have to figure it out, like any game. I mean, that's... Every time I play Donkey Kong Country, I die about a million times. I have to die about a million times because, well, that's how I freaking figure it out, right? Like that, and then I eventually overcome it. We're able to do this pretty quickly because we've played it many times, and we have special features now with games like this. But in the shoes of a 1992 of kids back then, it's not as easy as it just looked for us.
Yeah.
But eventually you do. Yeah, if you make it through it all, you get to go and see Roy. And Roy, I mean, he's a big boy, right? He's kind of slow. He as soon as you walk in, he blocks off the walls. You can't run. It's not a very wide stage. And he walks away up and down the walls, and he's not too complicated. You can jump over him. He moves slow, really slow at first, and then after each hit, he increases his speed, climbing up the wall onto the ceiling and fall down. And I feel like we've already had a boss fight like this.
Yeah,
but it's just gotta. Roy is different. I mean, again, the walls, after each hit, the walls, boom, they get more condensed. They make the room smaller and smaller. It's trying to make you more claustrophobic, harder to get through. And Roy, when he lands on the ground, you can jump. In the past boss fight that did this, you were able to easily run underneath, time it. As he falls down, you jump on him, land on their heads, okay?
Yeah, I love his color. The blue color with the mask. It's really cool.
I like it too. But this time, instead of being able to just easily round and jump on top of him, you want to do that, but like when he lands, there's like this a second delay to where like he's invincible, mm-hmm. where you'll just bounce off him. And I think that's the biggest trick. That's how he gets you.
Yeah. You can take him out before he even gets to the sidewall. You can hit him all three times, which is the ideal way to take him down.
Yeah.
But you got to be really quick and really good timed to do that. Once you defeat Roy, you get to go to the cutscene, if you will, of defeating the castle.
Cinematics.
It's hilarious as usual. That's what last ones have been.
Yeah,
you hit the plunger, and the fuse goes along. You know, goes to the bomb to blow up the castle, and then nothing happens. And Mario's like, you know, question marks appear over his head. He walks up to the castle to take a look and see why it didn't blow up, and it blows up in his face.
It's a light blow.
And he's got this funny sprite where he's just like blown up and like covered in soot, and his clothing and hat is torn a bit. it's great.
I do like that they did that, give it some character instead of just the same old rinse and repeat ending. I like that.
And then the tag is Mario found his way through the Forest of Illusion and has put an end to Roy Koopa of the Castle Number 5. Onward to the dangerous but tasty Chocolate Island.
Chocolate Island. And that's where we'll put a pin in it for this week, folks. And we'll be on to Chocolate Island soon. We're trying to finish up our Mario World Deep Dive series because there's a lot of juicy topics boiling out there, and that Ryan and I really want to spend some episodes talking about. And we want to, you know, just want to talk about some other games besides Mario World. 2023 was just a Mario year. I mean, through and through, it really was. So a good time to come back, but we were obviously we're enjoying these episodes, but we're excited to bring you some different type of content too. So bear with us, and please give our hotline a call if you still have, if you want to comment and just write into the show, talk into the show. Ryan, tell everybody how they can do that and where they can find us.
Sure thing, man. You can always listen in on our show on our podcast catchers like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Podcasts, Pandora Podcasts. You can also find some limited content on YouTube. Find us on Facebook at Nintendo NOS, on our TikTok at Nintendo _ NOS, X Twitter at Nintendo _ NOS, Instagram at Nintendo NOSIN, Gmail Nintendo NostalgiaIN at gmail.com. And you can also call us in on our hotline at 317-969-5690. That brings us to the end of the episode. Thank you so much for listening this week, and we will catch you next week. Later, Preston.
See you later.